The third chief part, the Lord's Prayer, the introduction. Our Father, who art in heaven, what does this mean? The Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. But before you can exhale, you have to inhale. Before you try to swim across the pool or run through a smoke-filled room, you're going to take a deep breath. Playing off what I said on Thanksgiving, if we're going to run through all the dumpster fires today, we're going to need a deep breath. And what you take a deep breath of matters. It has to be oxygen, not poison. I went to New Mexico Military Institute in the mid-70s. They told the story, it's on the line, by the way, of the three cadets of the 50s. The formal ball for that year had a water theme and was held in their large indoor swimming pool area. They used dry ice to make the fog. One cadet fell or jumped in, but when he came to the surface, there was no oxygen. Another cadet jumped in to save him. A third did the same. All died. All the deep breathing in the world can't help if there's no oxygen. Google manure pit deaths and see that poisonous methane is just as deadly as oxygen. Before exhaling prayer to the true God, you have to inhale the true God. Not one of your imagination, one of your fears, or one created by the devil of the world or your own sinful nature. You know, when panicked or terrified, you won't inhale or exhale. Our Lutheran confessions say it's impossible for a heart or conscience afraid of God to trust God, let alone to pray to God. The world will give you a Santa Claus-like God who can chuckle your sins away, and you know that works for a while until your conscience reasserts itself. The Didache, which dates to the second generation of Christians, says, "You shall not approach prayer with an evil conscience." Our confessions go one better. You can't pray with one. The first words out of Jesus' mouth when asked by his disciples to teach them to pray was, "You must say, Our Father who art in heaven." Our catechism says, with these words, God tenderly invites us. Another translation I like has entices us. But note, not to do anything, but to believe that the God of heaven is our true and dear Father, so that we may ask boldly and confidently as true and dear children. Irma Bombeck said, "I was afraid of everyone else's father but my own." That's true of any loving father. Even my father, short, muscled, tattooed, speaking little but yelling loud, didn't make me afraid. Friends of mine, particularly in the summer when shirts were off, they gave him a wide, wary berth. Luther drew this image of a dear father that we could be cheerful and confident about from Scripture. Romans 8:15. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." 20th century German Lutheran Near Eastern historian Joachim Jeremias, in his study of references to God that occur in prayers, points out that in ancient Palestinian Judaism, such intimate terms as Abba and my Father were never used in personal address to God. Only Jesus uses these expressions, an indication of his intimate relationship with his Father, and in turn, ours through Jesus. Another German Lutheran scholar says the Abba or Daddy is not used in Jewish prayers in the time of Jesus. How dare one address the Holy One with that childish word, with the address of a little child to a dear father? we dare again in Jesus' name. Picture this, circa 500 BC, and Athenian poet Themistocles was sent into exile by his fellow citizens. Not knowing where to turn, he went to King Admetus, his outspoken enemy. Fearing for his life, on arriving at the king's palace, he took the king's little son into his arms, approached the king, and said, "Dear king, in the name of your son, whom I know you love, I ask for mercy." At the sight of his son, the king was so deeply moved that he forgave Themistocles and received him into his home. For the sake of the son who loved you and gave his holy, perfect life in place of your rotten, stinking, filthy one, you can take a deep breath of heaven. Inhale the true God, the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll make this no more than a mantra if you think it's merely a matter of repeating, "I'm a true child and God is my dear father. I'm a true child and God is my dear father." Luther pleads with us, "Oh, dear Christians, God does not care for much praying, but for true praying." Jesus said it's the pagans who think that they are heard because of their much speaking. True prayer knows that it doesn't need many words to ask the Father as a true and dear child. And true prayer begins in Eden. Smell what a perfect garden would smell like. The plants, the flowers, the air. And know that was what God created you for. This is what God created for you to live and work and enjoy. Take a deep breath of that garden. What's that smell? Of all the snakes, the only one that I know that you can smell before you see is a water moccasin. I was sitting by a pool in the country on a porch swing. The evening air was fragrant with newly mown hay and flowers. Without warning, I smelled a pungent, decaying odor. The countrywoman who was our host said, "Water moccasin." And sure enough, that smell slithered on by. Into perfect Eden, where Adam and Eve used to say their prayers face to face with their Lord, as he walked with them in the cool of the evening, slithered Satan. Only he didn't stink yet, because he was more crafty than any created wild animal. Scripture says he thoroughly deceived Eve, who fell into sin. As for Adam, Scripture says he wasn't deceived at all when he took the forbidden fruit from Eve. Adam fell, we all died, and we all stopped praying. Before we can start again, we need to inhale the first gospel promise. No sooner did man fall, defend his sin, blame others and God, no sooner did he do all that than the Lord makes a promise to send a man like us, but unlike all others. The seed of the woman, not of man, who would be able to do what perfect men could not, crush the head of the serpent. The gospel is heaven. It's the good news that the Son did this in our place. He'll be struck in the heel by the serpent Satan. No, Jesus wasn't Achilles. His mother didn't hold him by the heel to dip him into the river Styx and so leave only that heel vulnerable. No, Jesus' Achilles' heel is us. For our salvation, he was conceived in the womb of a virgin, 100% man, able to die. Nothing less than dying was the punishment to be paid for sinning. Perfect Jesus could be struck by Satan because he was 100% true man. But he could crush Satan's head because he was also 100% true God. No one you know wants to be the last man to die in a war. Somebody always is, though. Don't let it be you. As we sing in a hymn, "Today he opens heaven again and gives us his own son." As Luther says somewhere, "Since he gives us his own son, I expect he's not mad at us any longer. Inhale that beautiful, purifying, clean, fragrant forgiveness. Newborn babies have a special, delightful smell. That's you. Washed of your sins. That's you. Absolved in Jesus' name. That's you with the smell of sweet wine that is the blood of Jesus hanging about you. Go on, inhale, keep going. And you know what happens next? You exhale. Just as you cannot help from inhaling if you're alive, you can't help exhaling prayer if you really inhaled the gospel. Look at David. After he committed adultery, just because he could as king, and after he heartlessly murdered his loyal friend and soldier who was the woman's husband. That's what he did before he wrote Psalm 51. Here's how the Bible bluntly puts it. A psalm by David when Nathan the prophet came to him after David had gone into Bathsheba. Ability and readiness to pray comes from justification, comes from being forgiven. The one praying may not only say, my prayer is acceptable to God, but further say, I am acceptable to God. Did I tell you the story of the elementary school teacher? Each year, she would privately tell her students, particularly struggling ones, you know, you're my favorite. That's what God says to you in Jesus' name. Even after this horrible, indefensible sin, as soon as Nathan's preaching of the law brings David to repentance, Nathan preaches the gospel. Hear it yourself. Quote, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. And no sooner does Nathan absolve David than David sings. You know from the offertory three verses of his song, but hear more. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your mercy. Erase my acts of rebellion according to the greatness of your compassion. Scrub me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. You getting this? David has been absolved, yet prays for forgiveness. Not because God forgets, but because we do. He goes on to exhale such gems of prayer as wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. And finally, hide your face from my sins. Erase all my guilty deeds. Taking a deep breath of heaven causes us to exhale prayers for forgiveness. And as we sing in the offertory, not to be cast away from his presence. Yes, God did cast us out of Eden, heaven on earth, lest we stretch forth our hand, eat from the tree of life, and live forever in this fallen state. But he came with us in Jesus' flesh and blood, not just one time, 2,000 years ago, but every single day he comes in word and sacraments. And that causes us to exhale the offertory prayers for God to act. Create a clean heart, renew a right spirit, restore the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with your free spirit. Each Sunday, our response to the gospel of the sermon is to pray, to ask, to beg, create, renew, restore, uphold us. Luther said that whoever utters even one part of the Lord's Prayer has prayed sufficiently. Whenever we just pray, our Father who art in heaven, we have prayed amply. We've confessed that God in heaven is not some nameless, faceless being in white light, unconcerned about what happens here on earth, but he's our true, dear Father. You are tenderly invited to believe, especially when the devil, the world, or your own conscience says otherwise. You are tenderly invited to take a breath of heaven when the devil says sulfur, the world says death, and you fear hell. And inhaling heaven deeply, you will exhale prayer boldly, confidently. Amen.